Greg, you have promised a new revamped methodology for ranking the top 12 teams in college football. The floor is yours.
That's right. We've got a whole new way of looking at things. Now, during this segment, what have I talked about a lot? Well, Team A's only loss is to undefeated Team B. Mm-hmm. Team C gave Team D their only loss, but has a bad loss to Team E. Team X had a bye week last week, but Teams Y and Z, who they have defeated, won. So it makes their win better. We've talked about devalued losses. So how can I quantify good a win is and how bad a loss is? Well, let's start with losses. When Team X loses to Team Y, they not only get one loss, they inherit the losses of Team Y.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, how good or bad are Team Y's losses? How many total losses are on the record of the teams that Team Y lost to? Those are also inherited by Team X.
Wow, a lot of transitive properties here.
Exactly. So, a team's weighted losses are their number of losses plus the total number of losses of teams they've lost to, plus the total number of losses that those teams lost to.
Oh, wow.
To.
So we're going three times removed?
Yes. There's third degrees of losses.
Third cousins.
It's designed...
Yes, John.
This is designed to compound losses to bad teams, but it's not going to severely punish losses to good teams.
Right.
Example. Okay. Let's take Texas for an example. They have one loss to... Two loss Georgia, that's three. Whose losses are to two loss Alabama,
that's five.
Five, yeah.
And two loss Ole Miss,
seven.
That's seven total weighted losses for Texas.
So it sounds like a lot, but there will be teams in this formula that have like double digit weighted losses at this point, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel like this is where what we've asked for, right? The Ken Pom, now Greg Pom.
Wins, losses, logos. Don't care.
Lots
did you
of
win? Did you lose?
Yeah.
Game of Thrones. Only two options. That's cool for the losses. What do we do for the wins?
Yeah.
We do the opposite.
Sure.
Oh boy.
A team's weighted wins are the number of wins they have plus the total number of wins by the teams they have beaten plus the total number of wins by the teams that those teams have beaten.
Okay, so
a lot
still
of math.
Three times removed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're glad that you've done it.
3 degrees of wins. Wins against good teams get compounded, but wins against bad teams don't get heavily rewarded. We take the weighted wins. We subtract the weighted losses. You get weighted games above 500. That stat is how we are ranking teams. We gather the data on an FBS-wide basis, rank all teams 1 through 135, guys. We can go all 135 if you want to. We only have 10 minutes here.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How long did this take to put together? Hours?
Yes, I would measure it in hours.
Wow.
I came up with the idea on Wednesday and had something ready by Saturday.
Oh, wow. Oh boy.
All right,
oh
so
boy.
The payoff
and then
is
they
here,
played.
People.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then
reset
you gotta redo
it.
All your math.
Before we get to the rankings, when I put these together, do the rankings make sense? Well, the Greg Pom top 12 this week, you're going to see, looks similar to the teams that you would see in the CFP top 12. So there is some sort of affirmation going on here. But they're not in the order you might expect.
Oh.
And there is a surprise or two.
Ooh.
And there is one this week, I will tell you. And it's not ice cream sandwiches.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Okay.
Secondly, do the conference strength make sense? Well, we can add up the weighted games above 500 for every team in a conference. And what do we find? The SEC and Big Ten, they're nip and tuck at the top, 1-2. Who do we expect to be 3 and 4?
ACC and Big 12.
And that's what we find. The group of five conferences, every one of them has an accumulated negative weighted games above 500.
Which is the best of them? Is it Mountain West, probably, I would assume?
No, it's not the Mountain West. The best is, I would have to look it up. I think it's Conference USA.
I just pulled John on you.
I got to look at it. I don't have that on.
You're following enough to ask questions. I'm just...
You're just ready for
I'm
the 12
here,
teams.
Yeah.
Just give me the 12 teams.
All right, well, here it is. We're going to count top down. We're going to count these teams so that the teams at the bottom on the bubble are going to real feel the pinch here. Number one, Oregon. Kind of what we see on the field and with the committee sees as well. They're buoyed by wins against Ohio State and Boise State, getting those residual income streams from those two teams. The difference between Oregon and the number two team is greater than the difference between the number two team and the number 11 team. That's how good the Ducks have been. Kind of like that Tiger Woods stat we'd see in the day when the difference between him and the number two golfer is this wide margin. Number two, Indiana. Well, well, well. Huh. Look what happens when you get rid of the logos. Indiana. Now, they don't have any great wins, but they have a collection of good wins, and they do have 10 of them. Obviously, no demerits. They may have tapped out, however, if they lose at Ohio State in a Purdue game that's not going to give them much in the win column.
So it's kind of the ceiling for Indiana.
Yes, unless they pull the upset in 2 weeks. Number three, Alabama. The Vanderbilt loss hurts them. They have really good quality wins in their wins. Georgia, LSU, we know about those. Don't forget Missouri has 7 wins. South Carolina has 6 wins. Heck, even Western Kentucky is 7-2. Those are buoying Alabama to number three. Mm-hmm. Number four, BYU. The old Mike Emmerich adage, they ask not how, but how many. Come from behind win at Utah, which, by the way, is one of the most underrated home field advantages in all of college football. The SMU and Kansas State wins headline their resumes, why they are number four. To the middle five, Ohio State. Great win at Penn State, but a soft non-conference schedule and a win against Purdue, who has 0 FBS wins, mind you, keeps them here. They have literally the smallest demerit you can have, one weighted loss in total because they have a loss at Oregon, who's undefeated. Number six, SMU. Duke, Louisville, Pittsburgh, all quality conference wins. Just like Ohio State, the only loss is to an undefeated team. That's BYU. Number seven, Notre Dame. Coming off an empty win against Florida State, but you'd rather have a little bit of wins and then inherit all of those losses that FSU has. The weight of the NIU loss still prevents them from being fifth or higher. Now, a note about these teams in this little middle portion here, 5-9 are very, very close. They could shuffle easily after this week. Number eight, Penn State. Plenty of decent wins. No great win. Their one loss is to the best team they played. Yep, sounds like Penn State, all right.
Yep.
Number nine, Texas. Conference home wins against Florida and Mississippi State are not doing much for them. Their best win, believe it or not, is still the win at Michigan, followed closely by the win at Vanderbilt. A win at Arkansas is going to help them gather these income streams for them. Number 10, Miami. Close calls finally caught up with them. Losing at Georgia Tech is a significant ding to them, and that Georgia Tech team now has 6 wins to their credit, but that's a loss for Miami that's really going to knock them down a little bit, settles them down at 10. Number 11, Boise State. Only Conference USA is a worse-ranked conference than Boise State's Mountain West. I mean, I know I said you asked me about the conference strength. I didn't know. I said Conference USA. That was a guess. Boise's in the Mountain West. Their only loss is to Oregon. Their best win, don't forget this, Washington State, who's 8-1.
Yep.
They are playing at San Jose State this week. It is the Greg Palm game of the week.
Really? Ooh.
San Jose State is 6-3. Boise in recent weeks played sloppy against Nevada, nearly lost to UNLV. You're saying, but Greg, Tennessee and Georgia are playing this week. Well, yeah, but a team ranked in the Greg Palm top 12 has to be the Greg Palm game of the week. Number 12, here's your surprise, Louisville.
What?
6-3. But Greg, how can 6-3 Louisville be ranked in the top 12?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take a look at their three losses. SMU, ranked 6th in the Greg Palm, 1 loss. Notre Dame, ranked 7th, 1 loss. And Miami, ranked 10th, 1 loss. They're levitated by wins against Clemson and the aforementioned 6-win Georgia Tech, who just beat Miami. Louisville, that is your surprise. They are in at number 12.
No Georgia. And again, the loss should have sent them tumbling. And no Tennessee, who only has 1 loss, right?
Correct. Great FAQ about Tennessee. Why no Tennessee? They've got 3-0 burger wins. An FCS school, winless Kent State, and Mississippi State, who has just 2 wins on the season.
So those wins aren't really winning for them.
And a loss to a 4-loss Arkansas team. They do have the game against Georgia. That's going to be huge for either team.
Yeah, the winner is going to be in a great position to make the college football playoff. The loser, if it's Georgia, they're out, right?
Sure. Yeah.
That is a huge game this week in Athens, Georgia and Tennessee.
A lot
of numbers here, John. Just
a lot of math.
If your head stopped spinning, what'd you think?
No, it's still spinning.
Oh, okay.
I can't think. I am curious, though, because of Ohio State with their one loss being at 5, and that one loss is to Oregon,
yeah,
who has no losses. When you start going...
They don't have the wins, I think is what he's saying.
Yeah, but Alabama has the 2 losses, and I understand that they are better losses, but they have those teams that they've lost to have losses as well. So, like, when you start going, 2 and 3 times removed, I don't know how that math works.
Ohio State, soft non-conference schedule. 2 MAC teams. Marshall's actually not a bad win for them. And Purdue doing nothing for their resume.
Very interesting. All right, here we go. There you got Greg Palm. It's 97.1.